Your credit score can shape your financial future by reflecting your credit history. But what's in the history of credit scores? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams. On the show lately, we've been digging into credit scores and the algorithms behind them. And it turns out the use of algorithms to rate someone's creditworthiness is relatively new. Marketplace Tech's Daniel Shin explains.
In the 1960s, the concept of credit was still growing, hence this educational short called The Wise Use of Credit, where a stiff-looking man named Mr. Money talks to college students Judy and John about credit and how to get it.
How about giving me a little credit?
Nobody gives you credit, John. It's something you have to earn.
Back then, if a borrower wanted to open a credit account with a retail store like Bloomingdale's, they usually had to talk to the store credit manager, who would collect your data from a credit bureau and would later conduct an in-depth interview with you, according to Josh Lauer, author of the book Creditworthy.
Part of the job of the credit manager was to try to make inferences about the person's personality, whether they seem to be organized and mature and responsible.
Which meant a borrower could be rejected if they were suspected of alcoholism, for example, or they could be blatantly discriminated against due to their race or sex, or even for married women who needed their husbands to co-sign a credit card application. Back then, credit evaluation was considered an art and not data science, but the credit industry eventually adopted the scientific approach over the coming decades. Lauer says one reason for this was a need for efficiency to meet growing demand for loans and credit cards.
It just took too long to have each of these credit applications vetted by an individual in real time.
And by the 1980s, credit reporting agencies had consolidated into a handful of bureaus, with a lot of nationally aggregated and computerized credit data that removed those variables, like how responsible a borrower seemed, says Lauer.
Because it couldn't be easily coded into a credit report. The systems then were much more primitive, and memory was at a premium.
Plus, in 1974, the Equal Credit Opportunity Act made it illegal to deny credit based on factors like race, sex, marital status, or religion. Sally Taylor, current vice president of FICO Scores and a data scientist herself, says this all led to a scientific approach to credit evaluation by lenders.
It replaced a lot of the human underwriting with an algorithm that allowed them to make decisions consistently and to also monitor how much better their decisions were.
But there wasn't a mass market credit score that all lenders could buy off the shelf and use. Scoring algorithms were custom designed for specific businesses, according to Josh Lauer.
You would not want to take someone else's credit model and apply it to your own business because your customers might not be exactly like another store's customer or another bank's clients.
Then Fair Isaac and Company, or FICO, which had been designing these custom credit scores for decades, released its first version of a universal credit score in 1989. Sally Taylor was FICO's first product manager at the time.
I did a lot of mortgage broker, mortgage originator, lunches at that time, explaining the concepts of scoring.
But then in 1995, mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac decided that every mortgage application would need a borrower's FICO score. Josh Lauer says this was a watershed moment because
this, almost single-handedly in 1995, established the credit score as a basic metric.
Taylor recalls how that also made FICO something of a household name.
Suddenly, you would have, say, mortgage brokers or like auto dealers asking consumers, do you know what your FICO score is?
And 27 years later, algorithmic credit scores are seemingly everywhere and now shape so much of our financial lives.
That was Marketplace Tech's Daniel Shin. And now for some related links. Josh Lauer, the author of Creditworthy, who you heard throughout Daniel's story, says the history of credit scoring in the U.S. is also a history of consumer surveillance. Credit scoring algorithms and computerized databases were built on the credit bureau's vast consumer data infrastructure that dates back to the late 19th century. We'll link to Josh's 2017 lecture on this topic at UC Berkeley on our website, marketplacetech.org. We'll also have a link from CNET explaining that 1970 Fair Credit Reporting Act Josh mentioned, which requires credit reporting agencies to ensure their records are fair, private, and accurate. So now that we've covered the past, what about the future of credit scoring technology? FICO has been exploring the potential use of machine learning, and VantageScore has already applied some level of machine learning into its latest 4.0 scoring model. So is artificial intelligence next? We'll link to resources from both scoring companies on that question, along with the rest of the stories from our series on credit scores and these algorithms that can affect our financial futures. Tomorrow, we'll look at what happens when someone is credit invisible. That's when they don't show up in mainstream credit scoring systems, which makes having a financial profile harder. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.